within the church in America and across the globe, there has been this perversion of the grace of God, where man is no longer being held responsible for him or her actions. You have a Calvinistic mentality that has infiltrated the church. And these Calvinistic mentalities that infiltrate the church will tell you it's not your fault that you're sinning, because at the end of the day, God ordained it. Others will tell you, where I fell, I watched adult content, pornography, but you know what? It wasn't me, it was the flesh, right? And it's like people in the church almost have a scapegoat now. No longer are they striving to live a holy life before God, but they themselves are using God himself as responsible for their sin. And I see it every day on Facebook. Man, I stumbled again, but it's this flesh. And they'll blame their sin nature. And they'll blame all of that, but they never want to hold themselves accountable for their decisions. And if the flesh is the only reason why we sin, well, Adam and Eve were tempted and they fell, and they didn't have the flesh as you and I know it. Yet they were tempted and they didn't have the flesh as you and I have it. The fallen angels that fell were tempted and they did not have the flesh that you and I have. So today in this devotional, I want to discuss this topic, and I just want to encourage you who is striving to live a life worthy of this calling, and remind you that yes, you can live a holy life before God. Not a holy life before God so that you can boast about it, because if we boast about anything, we should boast about Christ. But it is meant to shatter that mentality, this Calvinistic mentality that has infiltrated the church that perverts the grace of God. Bible verses will be in the more information tab below this video. Is it possible for you to live a blameless life before the Lord? Is it possible for you to have an excellent spirit before the Lord? After all, we should be able to find biblical examples of men and women who lived a life worthy of this call. You see, because once Christ penetrates your life, you're a changed man and woman. You are a new creation. Genesis 17:1, and when Abraham was 90 years old, Genesis 17:1, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. God told him to walk blameless before him. In Daniel 6:3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. They found no fault in Daniel. Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was walking blamelessly before the Lord. So if we see examples in the scriptures of men and women who are submitting themselves to God and living a blameless life before God, and we see God himself commanding it, why is it that in pulpits across America, you see this type of a gospel that hinders your ability to live a holy life? And they'll tell you, but we all fall short of the grace of God. And by all means, the scripture says it, we've all fallen short before the grace of God. If not, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ, folks. But is that an excuse for you to continue to live in sin every day instead of trying to strive to live a holy life before God? Folks, let's not get things twisted. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. What I am telling you is that once the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he will convict you. He will remind you. And he will warn you when you're about to make a mistake. And slowly but surely, he molds your character. He molds your way of thinking. He molds your way of talking. He renews your mind. And as the years pass, once you're saved, you're going to see examples in your life that you're going to be like, I don't do this anymore. I used to do it. I can't do that no more because of Jesus Christ. But how can you move towards that type of a walk when all you hear from a lot of preachers is, oh, it's okay. You know what? It's your sin nature. That's why you sin. But then you ask them, well, what about Adam and Eve? They didn't have a sin nature, but they sinned. What about the fallen angels? They didn't have a sin nature, but they fell. God gives you a choice. God is a just God. You are not a robot. God did not build robots and program them as the NWO is building their own type of transhumanist agenda. God gave his angels a choice. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. But of course, there's a lot of people that will tell you, no, Adam and Eve didn't have a choice. God ordained that they fell. So God ordained that Adam and Eve fell, yet he warned them not to fall, and yet he punished them for falling when he ordained it himself. That doesn't make sense. It's blaming God for our decisions. It's blaming God for us making decisions that are not right decisions. But this is not the type of message that you're gonna love. You want me to tell you that, oh, you sinned? Oh, it's okay, buddy. All right, here's a cookie. No, I can't tell you that, folks. I can tell you that God is faithful, and if you've fallen short, turn to Jesus Christ because his grace is amazing and he will renew you. Repent, turn to Jesus. Listen, Christ is God, man, and his grace is amazing, man. Okay? He's there and he is faithful. Okay? So don't get two things twisted. I am not saying that you can save yourself. I am saying that once you are saved, there is a change that is going to happen in your life, and you will no longer want to do the things that you did before. And could you fall? Sure. And could you make mistakes? Absolutely. But what happens when you sin? What happens when you fall? Do you take accountability and responsibility and repent? Or do you say, it's not my fault, it's my sin nature? Oh, it's not my fault, you know, God ordained that I would do this. If that's the case, then God ordained abortions. God ordained rape. Then God ordained gang activity. God ordained the slave trade. God ordained all of this, all of that. Stop blaming God for your mistakes, man. God has given you a choice. James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the Calvinistic mentality will tell you, well, you can't submit yourself therefore to God because you have no choice. You can't resist the devil because at the end of the day, you have no choice to resist or not resist. And how on earth is the devil going to flee if you can't do any of those, right? That's the convoluted mentality that has infiltrated the church, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, submit yourself before God. Therefore, you have a choice to submit or not submit. Resist the devil. That means you have a choice to resist the devil or not resist the devil. And he will flee from you. So the devil will flee if you submit and resist. These are personal choices that you have to make. And the beautiful thing is that if you had to make these choices by yourself, you couldn't do it. But it's the Holy Spirit that indwells within you, the Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not here comfortless on this earth, man. You have the power of God with you. And when you do make those right decisions, it's not for you to glorify yourself. It's the glory of God. Glory to God that God delivered me from lust. Glory to God that I was going to smoke that, but God convicted me. Glory to God. Glory to God that my wife, she got me upset, but you know what? I was going to say something. My husband got me upset. I was going to say something. My child got me upset. I was going to say, but the Holy Spirit of God convicted me, and I didn't do it. So none of this is for you to glorify yourself. But this is God molding you and changing you and transforming you by you understanding that you're responsible for your choices and decisions and actions. And God will justly judge you. You have a choice. We have a choice. John 5:40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. It says it there. They would not come to him. According to many in the church, that's not the case, because God ordained that they wouldn't come to him. Yet he's saying here, and ye will not come to me. Does that make sense if God forced them not to come to him? So God is saying, you will not come to me, yet I'm the one who ordained that you wouldn't come to me. Yeah, that's not the God of the scriptures, man. That's a God that a lot of people have created so that they can justify their perverted ways. And they'll say, early church father. I don't care what early church father said, man. If it's not in the scriptures, it's not in the scriptures, man. A lot of what you see in some of these Christian churches is demonic, man. They'll quote early church fathers more than anybody. John Calvin, the great John Calvin. Listen, man, I don't care what John Calvin said. I don't care what any of those dudes said. The scriptures say, let God be true and every man a liar. And that's what I'm telling you today. God is going to judge you on the day of judgment. Not John Calvin with you. Not me there with you. You need to make sure that you and your family are walking in order. Okay? Because you cannot use any man or any woman as an excuse, or your flesh even, for you to say, I sinned because of that. No, God will hold you accountable. So make sure that you're walking in His ways. Make sure that you're walking in the ways of God, folks. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's the message of this video today. That God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So when you're tempted, don't just say the flesh caused me to sin. When the Bible tells you that when with that temptation, there's a way to escape it. You have to choose this day whom you will serve, as Joshua 24:15. But then again, how can we choose you this day whom ye will serve when God is the one who ordained who you will pick? And well, then we end up blaming God. But no, that's not the case, man. God is telling you today, you have to make the choice. You have to make an educated decision. It is one made via the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God Himself living now within you, convicting you of your shortcomings, so that you can live a right life before Him. And He changes you, He transforms you, He renews you, He sets you free, man. He sets you free. And you can see it in your walk, man. Look at your walk with Jesus Christ. Year one, year two, year three, year four. As the years pass, man, you're going to see a person who's lived a life for God, man. And the things you once said, you no longer say. The things you once did, you no longer do. And I can assure you, in 5 years, there's going to be things you no longer do then than you did now. It's God transforming you, man. Perfecting you, man. Molding you. He is the potter. You are the clay. And He's transforming you, and He's changing you, and He's saying, okay, let's change this in here. And He begins to work in you. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So God, picture a door, and God is knocking at the door. You have to decide to open the door. But according to many gospels now that they're out there in many pulpits, hey, you didn't even have a chance to open the door. Because God knocked, but He decided that you wouldn't open. Right? So it's a twisting of who God is and His character. The verse says it clearly. God is knocking. Will you open the door? And if you do, God will come in and soup with you. And if you don't, then He won't. Ezekiel 18:30-32. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. So God is going to judge them according to their ways. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. So God's telling them to repent. But if God ordained that they would sin, then how can God tell them to repent when He made them sin? Then He says, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? God is asking them, hey, why are you going to pick death, man? And then He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks, to turn yourselves and live ye. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. This is why in Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Folks, you have to make that decision to take that water of life freely. And you have to make a decision that you cannot just keep on blaming the flesh for your shortcomings. Is this body flesh conducive to us doing everything perfect? No. But what I'm trying to share with you is, it's like a vehicle, a car. You can use that vehicle for transportation, to go grocery shopping, go to the park with the family, right? And you do the right thing with that car. There are regulations. Go 25 miles an hour, stop, don't turn on red. And if you do what you're supposed to do with that transportational vehicle, you should be okay. You shouldn't get in trouble with the law. But when a cop stops you, imagine if you just said, "I blame the car. It was the car that made me sin." No, you had regulations, you have commandments, you have instructions from God. You're the one choosing to violate them. Could that vehicle be used as a weapon? Absolutely, man. Vehicles can be used to kill people all the time. At the end of the day, it's your choice. Okay? And the good thing about this is that you're not on this earth by yourselves. You're on this earth with the Holy Spirit of God, man. God himself is living within you. Living within you. Think about how beautiful that is. That's why you feel that conviction telling you, don't do that. Don't do that. And then how beautiful is it not, the grace of God, that when you do fall, he's there to pick you back up and tell you, listen, you fell, repent. And you repent, and then he builds you back up. The beautiful thing about this is that as God is building you back up, what I'm trying to share with you is that learn from your mistakes and learn to walk a blameless life before the Lord. Philippians 2:14-15, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." So God wants you to be blameless and harmless, but nowadays you mention this in many pulpits and they'll walk out in your church. They'll say, "No, I can't do that." But the Bible says that you can. Not by your own willpower, but by the power of Jesus Christ. That's why it says in 1 Timothy 3:2, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." You want to know what we have so much wickedness in the church? Because there's a lot of bishops not living a blameless life when the Bible says they should be blameless. Once again, does it mean that they may not sin at some point? No. But it does mean that when they do sin, they're going to be convicted, they will repent, and they will keep on following Jesus Christ, man. All right? Enduring to the end. You understand me? Not sit there and say, "Well, I fell, but it wasn't my fault. I fell, but you know what? It was the flesh. I fell, but you know what? It was this." No, man. You fell because you fell. You made a bad decision. Repent. Stop looking for a scapegoat. And the beautiful thing is that when we repent, God is faithful and he will restore you. All right? But stop blaming people. Stop blaming society. Stop. Take accountability. Take accountability. 1 Timothy 5:7, "And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless." In Revelation 3:4, "Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in right, for they are worthy." They had garments, yet they defiled them. There are so many people in the church, and they're so anxiously waiting God's return, but are you living a life worthy of this call? Are you living a life according to how the scriptures want you to live a life, man? You can't be dancing with the devil and expecting to marry the king. In 2 Peter 3, 13, 14, I know we're going through a lot of scriptures here, but I love scriptures, man. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Living a life for Jesus Christ, a holy life for Jesus Christ. not so that we can boast about it and tell others, you see, I'm perfect. That's boasting. Boast about Christ if you're going to boast about something. But on the opposite of that, you have preachers that are always boasting about them sinning. I sin. Well, you shouldn't. I mean, are you a pastor? Are you a bishop? Aren't you supposed to be blameless? Why are you telling people that they can live however they want? You should be an example for their congregation. Once again, not out of your own mouth. They will see it in action. They would see it in deeds and action, man. They would see that you're living a walk for Jesus Christ, man. I know that works. Revelation 3:15-16. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's kind of the same way when you're going to eat dinner, man. You know, I would rather you be cold or hot, man. If you're cold, I'll put you in the microwave, heat you up. Right? And if you're too hot, I can blow a little bit on it and you know what? You know, we'll chow it down. It's nothing nastier than some lukewarm food, man. All right? And God says that he will spew thee out of his mouth, man. Make a decision today what you want to do with your life. Make a decision. Make a decision. Okay? But Tally, I'm tempted. It's not easy. I understand, man. I understand that. I know it's not easy. I'm not here trying to make it harder than what it is. Listen, I'm not telling you that, man. What I'm sharing you is James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. All right. But you're not alone. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You're not alone, man. You have the Holy Spirit of God, and he has not left you. If you're feeling conviction, it's because he's working in you. There's so many people that will tell me, has the Holy Spirit left me? Well, do you feel conviction when you sin? Yes, he's there. Listen to that Holy Spirit of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And if you've fallen short today, if you're watching this and you're feeling convicted, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. Notice the verbiage in that verse. Forgive our sins, taking accountability for our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take accountability. Confess your sins before God. He's faithful. He doesn't want anyone to perish. I love you guys very much. And I hope you understand the context of this message. And it is in hopes that you can live a life for Jesus Christ. And so that you can be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good son, a good preacher, right? And not good in the sense of what you and I call good, because I'm talking about living a life worthy of Jesus Christ. And when people see you, they no longer see who you once were, but they see Jesus Christ working in you, transforming you, right? So that God can be glorified, so that God can be honored. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be encouraged. Keep on living for Jesus Christ. Keep on striving to not watch the things you watch, not do the things you do. I know it's hard, especially when your mind has been warped by this world. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy. But no one said it ever was going to be easy. No one said it. And if God called you for this purpose, he's going to see you through, man. But you have to seek his ways, and you have to seek his kingdom, and you have to take accountability. May God bless each one of you very, very much. I love you greatly. If I could ever pray for you, if I could do anything, let me know. On our website, we have a lot of prayer requests on the front page. Feel free to post your own. You can do it anonymously, and people can pray for you there as well. Continue to see Jesus Christ. Continue to see Christ. He is amazing. He is an awesome God. He has so much mercy. He has so much grace. Be optimistic about your future, because if you're in Jesus Christ, you're in good hands. I love you greatly. Thank you for watching, and consider sharing this with a friend or family member, and keep on seeking Jesus Christ above all things. God bless.